Okay. Just let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the awesome God that you are, and we thank you for sending your Son to die for us. We ask that what I share today, people will take away with things that you are laying on their hearts that you are speaking to them about. We thank you for your Holy Spirit here with us today. In your name, amen. Okay, well, Marjorie started on our series that her and I are working with, How Does Your Garden Grow? She shared with us, for good growth, we need a plan. God wants us to be fruitful. We need good soil to produce a crop. Then keys for this to happen, we need time to grow, and we need to give ourselves license to fail and time to learn. Then she asked us some questions, which I wonder how we all got on with last week. What season were we in at present? What did that mean to us and where God had us at this time? And where are you gleaning from to help you through that season and what is happening? We have been chosen by God, and today I want to talk about where is your mind at today? Also, mind can often be transferred for the word heart as well, so it sort of interchanges. A lot of today's message has been from Dr. Caroline Leaf's book, Switch On Your Brain. Eric Kandel, a Nobel Prize winner and neuropsychiatrist, for his work on memory, shows how our thoughts, even our imaginations, get under the skin of our DNA and can turn certain genes on and certain genes off, changing the structure of the neurons in our brain. So as we think and imagine, we change the structure and function in our brains. Leading neuroscientists like Marianne Diamond, Norman Dodge, and many more, and Alan Jones, to name a few, have shown how our thoughts have a remarkable power to change the brain. Our brain is changing moment by moment as we are thinking. By our thinking and choosing, we are redesigning the landscape of our brain. Our mind is designed to control the body, of which the brain is a part, not the other way around. We cannot control the events and circumstances of life, but we can control our reactions. In fact, we can control our reactions to anything, and in doing so, we change our brains. It's not easy, it is hard work, but it can be done through our thoughts and choices. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Self-control, the meaning of that, the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, especially in difficult situations. Or if we take the word self-control, the meaning there is a capable of rational thought and decision-making. Here we see that God has given us the tools of power, love, and self-control. Yet, we still have also free will to choose this path, to be able to work through situations life has for us in our daily walk with Him. We are not bound by the physical. We control the physical in a way we can see that this is in many inspirational survival stories of those who have overcome impossible odds throughout history and in the current day to know the truth. I'm sure you can think of many stories and people that you have heard or people have shared of situations where this has happened. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" We have been created in God's image, so he wants the best for us in our walk with him. As Marjorie encouraged us last week to fix our eyes on Jesus and transform our minds in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We are free to make choices about how we focus our attention. Choices that are good for us affect how the chemicals and proteins and wiring of our brain change and function. Scientists are proving that relationship between what you think and how you understand yourself, your beliefs, dreams, hopes, and thoughts has a huge impact on how your brain works. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace from Christ rule in your hearts, to which one body you were also called, and be thankful." What does it mean when it says, "Let the peace"? It means soul harmony, which comes from Christ, is with us. Of Christ's rule, he acts as an umpire, continually guiding us. In your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind in that peaceful state. Notice it says peaceful state. If we're in confusion and in trauma of some kind, there's no way necessarily we can come to conclusions on things if we don't enter in with the Lord bringing us into that peaceful state. Called in one body, we're called to live. To live a life with the Lord, to be pleasing to him, to be looking to be more like him, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "More than anything, you guard and protect your mind, for life flows from it." If we choose things that are not healthy for our brain, this leads to unhealthy pathways in our brain. As Marjorie referred to in the neoplasticity can operate with us as well and against us, because whatever we think about the most will grow. This applies to both the positive and the negative ends of the spectrum. When a person goes through a traumatic event, that fundamentally changes the meaning of their life and alters the brain structurally because of the neoplasticity of the brain. During this trauma, the person's mind was not thinking in soul harmony in the presence of the Lord. Again, in Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace from Christ rule in your hearts, to which as one body you were also called to be thankful." So consequently, he or she did not choose, process, or react correctly to the event, making the thought that became wired in a jumbled toxic mess within our brains. As we live this event over and over again, it wires itself deeper into our mind, becoming a main filter and disrupting normal function. Flashbacks, reliving the bad memory many times a day, strengthens the circuits within our brain, making it worse and more debilitating. The good news is that we can use neoplasticity to renew our minds. The overriding concept is to apply neoplasticity in the correct direction by rewiring the event with positive thinking of Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, and whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. When we dwell on this, then we can change the way that we are thinking, the way that we are applying that to our lives and how we are looking to change maybe some viewpoints that we've had that we have thought we've dealt with and we haven't. This means that the physical substrate of the memory becomes weakened. It becomes vulnerable, malleable, and able to be manipulated. The person chooses to replace the crushing mental event with the implanted word of God, which saves the soul. In James 1:21, it says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." James tells us to stop sinning and accept on a deeper level the message of Christ with humility. It is God's goodness, Christ's goodness in us that counts, not our efforts to be good. Christ in us is what saves our souls. He came to save us. He's in us to make, to help us live a better life, to be more Christ-like in Him. And practicing this daily, the person wires the healthy new thoughts ever more deeply into their mind. Neurons just don't get enough signal. The rehearsing of the negative event will start firing apart, wiring apart, pulling apart, and destroying the emotional attached to the trauma. In addition, these chemicals like oxytocin, which bonds and remolds chemicals, dopamine, which increases focus and attention, and serotonin, which increases feelings of peace and happiness, all start flowing around their traumatic thought, weakening them even more. This all helps to disconnect and desensitize the neurons. If they stop firing together, they will no longer wire together. This leads to wiping out or popping these connections and need and rebuilding new ones. So we constant we so we constant sorry. So he consciously chooses, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, to bring the memory into consciousness, where it becomes moldable, or what they call plastic, where it can be molded more, enough to actually be changed, which means the memory becomes weakened and vulnerable again, but the person then chooses to replace the crushing mental event with the implanted word of God, which saves our souls. In James 1:21, it says, we've already said that one, but again, just talking about how we choose to go move away from sin and move forward and what the Lord has for us from His word. It is only the inspired word of God through Jesus that can heal and bring us to wholeness in our trauma that we're experiencing now or have experienced in life. Sometimes we think we have dealt with all this trauma, and then the Lord brings things back into our lives to deal with areas that we still have sitting dormant from those past hurts. This happened to me with our Bible study we're doing at the moment in our ladies group. The Lord shone a light on an aspect of my marriage breakup, which I thought I had dealt with, being the loss of things that would now never happen, growing old together, enjoying retirement together, experiencing the joy of being with our grandchildren as they go through those special milestones in their lives. I thought I was alone, but this is the time that Jesus is right there with me, showing me that He is there and to rest in Him. Now, I thought I had dealt with that and it was all fine, but the Lord showed me a little piece that I was still holding on to of that. So he's saying, but see, and he's going, but I've been here all the time. I'm here with you. You're not alone. And so it's letting go of that and rewiring my thought process to make sure that, yes, I definitely know he is with me. Not in that little crevice that I was still holding on to, but I'm letting that go and he's coming in with this fullness of his love for me. I've talked about earlier rewiring my thinking on these things and think now how the Lord thought about these things and where I needed to go. Refreshment and encouragement in his word and rethinking thought patterns on healthy things, on what I do have and how the Lord has brought me to where I am today. Fun fact, did you know that your brain generates more energy, that's electrical impulses, in one day than all the cell phones on the planet? So we have the power to make changes. We do not have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. You have the power in your mind to change negative, toxic manifestations. Our minds shape the world. This is what the neuroplasticity is all about. Change. Neuroplasticity is God's design for renewing the mind. What an awesome God we have, who had already designed us to be able to overcome these obstacles and know what we need to do as we can see through the scriptures he has for us in his word. Scientists are now catching up on how amazing a body we have. Some still do not want to acknowledge our God, the Creator. But we know his love for us and how he wants to grow more and how he wants us to grow more in him. Now we're just going to watch a little clip by Dr. Caroline Leaf, and it's going to show us how when we do things, how things grow in our brain and all that. I think you'll find this quite fascinating.
Next slide, which is a slide going inside the brain, and you're going to see neurons. You all know what a neuron is. You have 100 billion neurons in your brain, and on the tops of the neurons, we get branches called dendrites, and that is where our memories are stored. Right now, you are building memories at 400 billion actions per second in your non-conscious mind. What you're seeing up there on the screen is your mind activity, your mind signals, which are generating life. The things that you see growing over there are branches, which are protein structures, which are holding the words that I am telling you now, with the emotions. Every thought that you build contains information and emotions. You, with your mind, make choices. You generate this. You impact the way that the cell body functions. That thinking, the receiving of my words as a signal, goes inside the cell body. That's the cell body that's pulsating in the middle there, the round thing. And inside the cell body, we have the nucleus. Inside the nucleus, we have the DNA. Inside the DNA, we have the chromosomes. And the chromosomes, you'll see in a moment, we're going to go inside the cell body. The chromosomes unwind into the DNA. They're the chromosomes, not worms, okay, and the chromosomes unwind into the DNA. Now, we think that the DNA is it. It's not. The DNA contains the genetic code, which is a pattern for proteins, a pattern for life, but the gene code on there is dormant until activated. What activates it? Your signal. What is the signal? How you are perceiving life, how you are thinking, choosing, and reacting. That generates the life that you saw inside of that particular slide. The first slide I showed you was a brain on a plate. That brain was doing nothing, but the world of science worships the created instead of the creator. But God is revealing and inspiring scientific discoveries through those that even don't believe in him, because they are manifestations of his greatness. So look at
So isn't that spectacular that we've got a God who had already thought of all that before the beginning of time and how we would be and how we can function and with his help, build pathways that are growth for us and living within him. I just think that's amazing. And now scientists are finally catching up. They still might not acknowledge him, but they're seeing the wonderful art of what our Lord has done to build us as people in his image. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how special you have made us, that we are your creation, and we thank you for that. We ask that as we go about our week this week, that you will bring opportunities to share of you, to be a comfort to those that maybe have things that are happening in their lives. Lord, we ask that you will have us aware of what you're wanting to say and things that you want us to do this coming week. May your blessings be on us, of those that are here and those that can't be here today, Father. In your name, amen.